shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, Sit So Saturday. Coming to you live from my hotel room in Las Vegas. I am here for a belated 15 years sober celebration. I'm going to go see Earth, Wind & Fire and Lionel Richie tomorrow night. I'm super pumped. So today, you are going to get to hear a portion of the Shit Show support group we had just this past Thursday. So let's just cut to the chase, folks. Let's talk about what you're missing out on here, what it is that you have to potentially gain from being a part of this community. And I'm just going to give it to you straight. As you know, I always do. So number one, empathy and understanding. So this is a place where you can connect with others who truly understand and comprehend the complexities of growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional family and the pain and suffering that you endured. This is a place where your experiences will be validated and, you know, peace and solace in knowing that you're not the only one. You're not alone. I know for me, for many, many, many years, I didn't have anyone in my life who truly understood what it meant to be an adult child. And that includes my friends in AA. And it's amazing how much the shame goes down when we realize that there are people just like us. Point two, emotional healing. So this is a safe place for you to process your traumas, to share about it, to get out your emotions. So much of this adult child recovery work is releasing those emotions that have been stored within us our entire lives. And this is a safe and supportive place where you can do so. Number three, supportive network. So this is a place where you are going to build genuine connections with people who are also on this healing journey. This is a group of like-minded people who are okay with referring to themselves as shit shows, who are okay with the word fuck, who clearly have a sense of humor. This community is unlike anything else. So, hey, you, the person that's been wanting to join for a while, let's do it. Your healing is worth it. Your life is worth it. We cannot heal in isolation. Just give it a damn try. Okay, just give it a damn try. You can quit after a month. Go to the link in the show notes to damn the join shit show. How about right now? And let's just get the damn show on the road. But of course, beforehand, please give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok. And last but not least, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you. Love
they
you
say
all.
That I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
Reparenting. With the steps and by reparenting ourselves, we can further remove the buttons that have been pushed by others to manipulate us or to get a reaction out of us. As children, others manipulated us at will. Sometimes it seemed we were born to be used by others. We showed up for horrible people who sucked us dry of our courage and strength because that is what we learned from our families. That's what they told us we were meant for by the way they treated us every day. As adults, we know we can set boundaries with those who abuse us. When we find that we have recreated an unmanageable situation at work, we get new jobs. We can change our living arrangements when we find that we are once again living with addicts who keep us awake at night and need us to look after them. In recovery, we make space to feel the anger and shame that were handed to us in our childhoods, and we heal. We may even detach from abusive family members permanently if that's what it takes to maintain serenity. On this day, I will write down what I want my life to be like as a way of turning things over to my higher power. I kind of felt like this reading was kind of all over the place. Anyone else feel that way? I don't know. but it brought something up for me that happened. I don't know when it was. I don't know if it was on Sunday or last Thursday, but just something that I noticed that I wanted to share with you. And so It was towards the end of the meeting, and Maggie asked me a question about basically like, how is the community going? Like, what are your goals? You know, how's the podcast going? And I kind of like froze up, and I felt a lot of panic and felt like I should have had an answer prepared. And that's something that I should have an answer prepared to. And afterwards, it made me think about something that's been on my mind. And that is regarding like setting goals, like specifically for like the podcast and for the community. And I've like realized how much fear I have like in doing that, because like I don't know if it's like I feel like I can't do it, or if it's like a sense of failure or what it is. But there is like so much fear in like writing down like what I want and like what I want to accomplish, because there's this like I said, it's not a lack in belief in my abilities, but it's like my lack of belief in my work ethic. And I know it's not my work ethic, and I know it's my parts and it's my wounds and it's all of that shit. But there is so much fucking fear in writing down my goals, right? And it also stems back to like, we were habitually disappointed in childhood, so we just habitually disappoint ourselves in adulthood. And so it just brought up a lot for me. You know, like I had a lot of shame in that. And there's just been like so much reluctance and fear in writing down my goals, you know? And so it's not really like, I mean, it is related to the reparenting, right? And here's the thing too. It's like, okay, if you don't make them, like that doesn't mean that you're a failure either. But just like when I read that last portion, when it says, on this day, I will write down what I want my life to be like as a way of turning things over to my higher power. And just the act of like writing down like goals and what I want my life to be like seems so fucking scary, guys. It really seems scary. And so I'm grateful that, people pleasing. Yeah, no, it's more so like, I just feel like I should have like a canned answer and like, this is what's going on. And I don't know. It's like nice to, it's like, you guys know like what the deal is like with all of this stuff. And so I feel grateful that I can be honest about like, that's how that question made me feel, you know, and that like, and I can be honest with you guys and say like, yeah, I don't have goals written down. And there's like shame in that. But I know that like, again, this is just all part of my healing. And, it's such a weird experience, all of this, right? Because it's like so part of like my greater purpose. And I know that this is my calling, but it also just is allowing me all of these opportunities for me to continue to like heal my shit. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful that Maggie asked that question, because it just kind of brought it more to the forefront for me. So floor is open. Please share.
I don't write goals down either. I'll do like endless to-do lists, which is interesting, this topic. I have had several therapists over the years encourage me to write down like what I want in a partner, and I've had coaches and stuff want me to do that, and I avoid it. I don't want to do it. And what came up for me is, if I write it down and I'm that intentional about it, and then I still don't get it, I don't want to deal with the pain of that. But at least if I don't write it down and I don't really focus on it and it doesn't happen, I have the fallback kind of excuse to say, well, I didn't like really write it down with true intention and put a bunch of energy into it. So like, that's why. So I give myself kind of an out so that I don't have to feel the potential pain of it not happening, but then I end up losing out on what I could gain by doing something like that. Because I don't really want any more mega disappointments in my life. I'm kind of wrung out from it. I'm tired of it. I've had it happen so many times. I've had a lot happened last year. And I think it's understandable why myself and a lot of us do things consciously and subconsciously to protect ourselves from just being let down of something that we genuinely want, you know, whether it's, you know, something with a partner or a friendship or support or something with health or with money or whatever. Because if you, we don't really put it out there and we don't really state it and we don't really write it down, then it's not really real. And then it can't really hurt so bad. That was really helpful that you shared that. And guess what? I'm still not going to write it down. And I don't care.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for passing along the reading. I've got a couple thoughts about reparenting myself. On one level, I'm in the indulging parent in entering ACA, trying to figure out, you know, what my difficult past was. I had a really difficult adolescence. It was like amazing I escaped alive. It was that difficult. I would never want to go back in time and, you know, relive those years. And that's when I became a substance user. Did a lot of psychedelics, all kinds of different escapes. It was the late 70s. There's a lot of things available. And I had a community. I had a community that was very shallow. It was built around, you know, that lifestyle. And we did a lot of intellectual discussion. We were, you know, kind of intellectual stoners. And we would get high and talk philosophy and the meaning of life and things like that. And but really, my adolescence is kind of a blur. It was just a survival. I was in survival mode, and then my substance use by the time I was in the beginning of college was basically. My life was starting to crash. It was overtaking me, and you know, I became a prisoner of it as an addict. And so now, you know, in my reparenting, as far as my inner teenager, which is my target, you know, I'm just indulging my inner teenager. You could maybe tell by my wardrobe, but play my music loud. But the other things I do is, you know, I'm in touch with areas where I really needed and need now, you know, some self-discipline to your point about goals and stuff. And I'm in touch with the fact that I have this attention deficit issue and I'm finding hacks. So I'm like helping myself out like you would help a younger person out. And these things were present then and present, you know, forever, and I never really addressed them. So in my family, things like needing therapy or being an alcoholic or something, it wasn't ever spoken at me. I wasn't criticized directly, but other people in other families and so forth were, you know, when someone was mentioned to be an alcoholic, it was like horrible thing that this person was. And I remember this one time my mom asked me, and I was too young to really make this decision on my own. Did I think I needed therapy? And I did need therapy, but I should have been, you know, parented toward it and, you know, helped toward it. But I think there was a stigma that was present in my family that, you know, I think my mom saw that I needed it, but didn't want that stigma. and got out of it by asking me if I wanted. Of course, I didn't. You know, I didn't want. I knew that that was a stigma. I didn't want that, but I really needed that, and it would have really helped me. So, in some ways, when I'm addressing ways I still need to grow up, I'm working on areas of discipline. The hacks I have for the attention deficit, I'm like layering them in. I've got this little clock. Obviously, I have a timer on my watch, but I got a little round clock that looks like a hockey puck. And, you know, I'll set it for like 15 minutes. And if it's something that I just want to devote 15 minutes, because I'm like totally time blind. And I can just lose all kinds of time, but not realizing, you know, just by being distracted. So that's really helped me. And I also do a lot of lists. And I'm doing like an hour by hour thing. I'll do the hour and then the half hour, hour and a half hour for like the next 5 hours. And so I've got things put into each space just to keep me on task. I have a real busy life with my work and other things I do. And it's super helpful. So in some ways, I think that's reparenting. I'm addressing what I know are weaknesses with myself. And even though, you know, I'm the latter part of my career, latter part of my life, probably, you know, I'm convinced that working on these things is still really valuable. And it's making me feel better, just to feel like I'm not totally at the mercy of this situation, this condition that I have. And I just learned to love myself in spite of it. I find it humorous in some ways, even, you know, I learned to laugh about it. So that's where I'm at. I think that that's how I would tie in where my work is right now on myself with today's reading. Thanks for listening.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Hey, yeah, for me, the goals that I have are more about the relationship and how do I not get abused in the future. And I think for me, like the biggest thing, cause I'm not so bad with like the professional, the academic type stuff. Like that's almost like easy for me so that I can avoid like figuring out how to be in a relationship. Or honestly, for me, I think the goal is to recognize what my feelings are and like know what they are and not have a misinterpretation of them. You know, like I just kind of came to the realization after like 2 years that I didn't have, like when I was with my ex, I didn't have my kid and him bond. And it was like, there was something in my gut that was like telling me like, oh, don't do this, like don't have them bond. And I just like thought there was something wrong with me. I thought there was something wrong with him. I was like, why aren't we a blended family? I'm reading all these books. And like, it took me 2 years to realize I don't want my kid to have a stepdad because my stepdad abused me. Like, click. That was actually not that hard, but it took me 2 years and I don't know that stuff. Or I literally just wrote out in my whole notes app because I was like, gonna post it on here. And then when I finished writing it out, I answered my own fucking question. I was basically like, you know, I fantasize in my head that I can fix this relationship with my daughter's father. And because he was so nice to me when I was sick and he was like so attentive. And now that I'm like healthier, he's like ghosted me and he's like gone. And I got kind of like attached when he was helping me when I was sick. And I started to fantasize about like being able to work it out. And I'm just sitting here, like, I keep shooting my shot and getting rejected, like just very subtly, but enough to know I'm getting rejected. And I'm like, why am I trying so hard with somebody to make someone love me who doesn't love me? And I'm like, oh, because that's what my mom, that's like literally how it is with my mom. And I'm just replicating that. And so I'm like, I'm the catch here. Why am I trying? Like, why don't I want somebody to come to be, want to be with me? Like, thinking about it, you know, like I'm trying to reframe and learn. My goal is to learn that, like, I deserve really good things. I deserve to be treated well. And like that, it doesn't logically, like, it logically makes sense cognitively, but like, I can't make it make sense in any way, shape, or form. And so when it comes to goal setting, it's that, it's being able to identify things in the moment. And like, I was able to, right? I started feeling real weird with my daughter, my youngest daughter. It's like, things are weird. And like, it only took me a day or two to recognize that, like, she's getting older and our symbiotic relationship is like closing. Like, she's developing independence. And like, I just want to grab her, but like, I can feel her distance. And like, I was able to recognize it and not be like, there's something weird here. I must be going into dissociation or PTSD. Like, it's like, no, like, my kid is getting away from me and I'm sad about that. And so that was like a really huge acknowledgement, the fact that I could like actually understand what that was realistically, not misinterpret it and be like, all right, let me just get sad about this for a couple of days and then we'll move on. And so for me, like, the goal really is figuring out what the fuck I'm feeling and the actual reasons for those feelings, because that seems like it's probably going to be pretty helpful in the future. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Ahoy, fellowship shows. Fun fact. I love that so much. And also, Shit Show Nation, I started doing it in other meetings and people like busting up laughing about that. I'm like, that's so normal in our world of just like, yeah, we're Shit Show. Like, aren't you? Maybe other people aren't, but all the coolest people are. So I've been doing that. And I also wanted to be proud of myself. I got really sick this weekend. It wasn't COVID, but I took Monday off, and it was the first day in my life that I took a day off and I didn't feel horrible guilt about letting the team down. It's fucking, again, I do maintenance. Like, it's gonna be fine. Like, give it a day. And I came back Tuesday and I just like took it slow. And I, on Saturday, sincerely the thought inhabited me that I was like, I shouldn't need cold medicine. That's weak. And I said, you fucking psycho, drink some fucking sleepy time tea. Like, it's okay to need that. Like, it's okay to be nice to yourself. And like, it was much more natural than it ever has been. And I'm like, I'm really proud of that. And I'm like, I'm kind of like high on recovery right now because I finally got my ass in gear talking about procrastination. And I started an in-person slaw meeting that's Denver's first that I know of. And it happened Friday and there's like 11 people and it was fucking awesome. And like, there was such a need in the community. And like, I didn't do shit. Like, my higher power did all of it, but I did have to show up. I did have to like initiate things. And I'm so bad at that, and bad at it right now, I should say. I am learning. I don't like learning. I want to just be perfect at it. Can't I just do that? We were talking about like budgets and stuff and I got notes out, and here I have like my budget with all my like Spotify and hospital bills that I haven't paid that are from like way back when, and you know, $14,000 of credit card debt, but I can't tally it up because then it's real. And I don't like finish it because I'm afraid that it will be too much. that I cannot face. If I keep it, if I don't put detail to it, it keeps it like in the safe, distant place that I don't have to deal with it, which isn't true. And like I procrastinated on so many stuff. Like Andre, when you say that, like I totally get it, and I it hurts. Like the neurodivergence right now is really fucking hurting me. And I'm trying to be gentle, which isn't what I want to do. I want to say, fucking just do it, stupid idiot. But that doesn't work. Like for 30 years, this hasn't worked. So I'm stopping and saying, like, I'm going to try and look at this for the recovery, and be nice and gentle and see how, like, I don't get why my higher power loves me, but I'm accepting of the fact that he does and is here. I'm not questioning that now. And I had a hard relationship with my dad, so it's like learning in those like tender moments to be okay that like a man loves me for me, and I don't need to have anyone else like on the docket. Like I'm enough as me, and that's different and it's new, and it feels good to be learning it. And I got a shit ton more to learn, but I'm glad you all showed up for your recovery tonight. I'm glad you're here. Love you much.
I got a planner recently that in the beginning it was like, where do you see yourself in 3 years? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I immediately spiraled into a neurodivergent hellhole. And my therapist was like, yeah, that's not a question you would ask a neurodivergent person, because so often throughout my life, life is what's happened when I've made plans. And yeah, as a kid, it was, if I stated a goal or I wrote it down and somebody in the house saw it, it would be used to torture me without question. And so I get to check that. I get to reparent around that. And then it was, for a while in sobriety, it was, great, I've achieved all these goals, and now I've worked myself into a corner I don't actually freaking want to be in. Like, I got myself in a workplace where I was like, yay, I made it. And I fucking hate every single one of you, but I would set it much nicer. Of, oh, I'm confused as to why you would say that. Can you explain to me? Blah, blah, blah. No, I fucking hate you all. So I chose to leave. So now I love having people with greater decades in life than me. Right now, my goal is to, and this kind of makes me want to cry, I just want to be a decent human being. I just want to see my own worth as I walk this planet and breathe this air. I just want to feel connected to my soul and do right by my husband and my kids and the people I meet on the street. And how fucking hard that is to do. I went and visited my daughter at college in Boston, and it was the first time I flew by myself in as long as I can remember. Because I've always been the mom in the airport who's wrangling three little kids through TSA. And I had a complete, I thought it was a panic attack or dissociative, whatever. On the outside, I looked fine. I know my body was going through the motions, but there was nobody home. And my hands were numb. I couldn't feel my feet. And I went and found a quiet place, and I meditated and I prayed and I stretched and I got back into myself to an extent. But I noticed for my first whole day in Boston that I was noticing every drink, and I was noticing all the pot smoke, and I was noticing. And normally that's just like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And so that night I went to an AA meeting, and of course it was freaking rock and solid, because that's always fun to do when you're in a new place. But there's that part of me that just always feels so crushed, that always feels so like don't really share how you what you would love to have happen because someone's going to squash it or someone's going to make fun of you for not reaching that goal. So, Andrea, I completely understand about not wanting to say it out loud about your goals. And some people would tell me, oh, you spiritually bypass. And I'm like, no, I live life one day at a time. And my higher power doesn't direct me in 3-year stints or 5-year stints. So I just want to throw a lot of support out to you right now because this community is phenomenal. And I think if you take it upon yourself to like, you know, carry all of it, I think it's beyond all of us in a way. And I know it's spiritual woo-woo, but when it comes to recovery and the ability to do what we're doing together here, it's a freaking miracle. So, Jess out. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. And I'm so glad everyone's here. Something you said, Jessica, really struck me, not what I'm going to share, but there's goals of character, and then there's goals of the material world. And I think a lot of us are thinking about goals of the material world. Anyway, I have a lot of conflicting feelings. When I was young, I've shared this before, I expressed interest in becoming a doctor and was always really encouraged and groomed, to the point when I was in college and I wanted to maybe go to graduate school in a different subject, I was too afraid to tell my parents that I maybe wanted to change my mind. And I just persevered and I did it, yada, yada, I achieved the goal. But now I don't write down goals. And I think some of it is, you know, because of our black and white thinking, like we're either good or we're bad, we're right or we're wrong. We did it right, or we were shameful, or we humiliated the family. So there's such an aversion. So maybe just creating different language and not call them goals, say, I want to explore such and such. I want to explore taking a dance class. I want to explore taking an art class. I'm curious what it would be like to do such and such. And then there's not so much energy. Like if we don't like it, we could just say, okay, I was curious, I explored, and that's not for me. And we don't have to always have all the shame and hear our parents talk, you know, you didn't do that right. You know, you failed. You don't stick with anything. All this stuff. Anyway, those were my thoughts about goal setting.
So the reading kind of started with like reparenting and kind of ended in step three. And the last couple of weeks I've been going like really hard on step three, and so much that I tend not to write down my goals because they're not big enough. Like I don't have a good enough imagination to imagine what would be better or what would be best or what is the best case scenario? Like, what am I going for? Typically it's just not here or not this, or, you know, I wait until I'm in a crisis and I'm like, well, I don't want to be here. One time I kind of like wrote like a long time ago, wrote down like an ideal partner, and like I missed all the good points, like all the real important points, and ended up with what I wrote down. And like, that was, I regret all that. So I'm not completely, not 100%, but sometimes I feel like I'm just going to go hard on step three and like trust that my higher power is going to bring to me probably better things than I could imagine. And I just like write down my progress and I write down my wins because I can see how far I've come, but I'm afraid still to like write down goals because I figure I'll just screw those up too and get what I want and it's not what I need. So with that, I'll pass.
Can't believe I raised my hand. I was just going to listen, and I'm feeling this low-level anxiety. My heart is beating, but I'm going to share. I identified with so much of what's been shared already. What a great meeting. Yeah, the making the goals list, it's so funny, this like serendipity or synchronicities that are happening. It's just like the reparenting thing. That's like just what I'm really been, that's been heavy on my mind lately. And I'm doing it. I'm fucking doing it. I really am. I'm connecting. And like it's been 2.5 years since I joined ACA, and this stuff is finally like just starting to gel. And really, I guess I'm getting out of my head and I'm starting to feel it. So it's really pretty cool. But the making goals, I mean, that stuff was scary to me. Making goals. I've heard the thing about making the list of what you want in a partner. And yeah, I identify so much with those of you who shared that, you know, I don't want to do that because if I, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot around that, but now I want to. It's like I'm just in a place now where I feel like things can really happen for me, and just a lot of shifts lately. So I think it's no accident that I decided to join you all here and join the shit show. And I'm just excited for what's to come. You know, the whole 60 thing was like, all right, stop fucking around and get it together, because, you know, I want to enjoy the rest of my life. So that's where I am. And I think I will leave it there. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So for me, where it said, write down, what you want, that really hit home, because my therapist and I were talking about that, because I still feel like I'm a disappointment to my parents because I'm not married, I'm divorced, I don't have any kids, so I didn't give them grandkids, I don't have a house, I live in an apartment. And she said, well, do you want kids? And I said, no. And she said, well, do you want to live in a house? I said, no, I don't want to. I like being able to call maintenance when my refrigerator filter is dead and needs a new one, and they can just come and swap it out for me, and I don't have to worry about it, and all the exterior stuff is taken care of. My air conditioner dies, they take care of it. And so she said, write out what you want, what your desires are, what your perfect life is, and realize that you are living it. You have a good job. You have what you want in life. You're not a disappointment. And that was really, you know, reparenting myself to learn that. So thank you for letting me share.
So when you were talking about, I mean, I cannot tell you how many times, you know, I read all these books and it's like, you need to have these goals and you need to have a financial plan and put together a budget. And I'm like, oh, no, nope, 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 nope. I do all that stuff for work. I do budgets and rolling forecasts and all that nonsense, and I am done with it. But I know underlying that is this fear, like what if, like the fear of the future. What if something happens and I don't have enough savings, or I just didn't want to face it. I'd rather not know. And part of this journey has been like facing that fear and setting things up and doing a will and talking to a financial planner. And it all went better than I expected every single time. But I still won't put together a budget. And there's some other things like that. And I know there is this piece of it that if I say I'm going to do something, I will do it or die trying. And I know that comes from growing up in an alcoholic household where there were all these big, you know, drunk plans, right? You know, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. It sounded like so much fun, and the kids would get all excited about it. And then it wouldn't happen, and I'd be disappointed. So I did not want to be that person in anybody else's life. So I think there's a piece of that where I feel like if it's a promise, then it's set in stone and I can't do anything but that. And I just don't want to be that chained to anything. So anyway, I'm glad to see everyone. Thanks for letting me share. Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Let it all go.